JC2S, Part 1.
Number 10B.
So we can see now that how we can gradually build up the reasoning of the all mind. We hear it in mind is mind, that mind is the all in all. Because all is the divine mind, mortal mind is error, and mind is spirit, that mind's allness is good, hence the awful unreality called evil. And that can only be discerned spiritually. And therefore now we see that allness of mind continuing to be brought out through the subtone of soul. Now that all mind, which is good, that is the only reality, and now that is ruling through divine metaphysics, which is above physics and which is natural, and it rules now by reversing perverted and physical hypotheses regarding deity. Now we go on to mind is principle, and it's going to talk, give us more information about that all mind, which is the all in all. And it says, well, that divine mind now is the one and only principle. Again, it stays within that one-valued logic of mind, of the divine system, again, of metaphysical healing. Now, we've looked at that term metaphysical and see then that metaphysical is that sense of mind, of soul, that it's above and beyond the physical. So we go on now to that tone. Let's read it. It's 111 to 26 to 112:31. After a lengthy examination of my discovery and its demonstration in healing the sick, this fact became evident to me, that mind governs the body not partially, but wholly. I submitted my metaphysical system of treating disease to the broadest practical tests. Since then, this system has gradually gained ground and has proved itself, wherever scientifically employed, to be the most effective curative agent in medical practice. Is there more than one school of Christian Science? Christian Science is demonstrable. There can, therefore, be but one method in its teaching. Those who depart from this method forfeit their claims to belong to its school, and they become adherents of the Socratic, the Platonic, or Spencerian, or some other school. By this is meant that they adopt and adhere to some particular system of human opinions. Although these opinions may have occasional gleams of divinity, borrowed from that truly divine science which eschews man-made systems, they nevertheless remain wholly human in their origin and tendency, and are not scientifically Christian. From the Infinite One in Christian Science comes one principle in its infinite idea, and with this infinitude come spiritual rules, laws, and their demonstration, which, like the great giver, are the same yesterday and today and forever. For thus are the divine principle of healing and the Christ idea characterized in the epistles to the Hebrews. Any theory of Christian Science which departs from what has already been stated and proved to be true affords no foundation upon which to establish a genuine school of this science. Also, if any so-called new school claims to be Christian Science and yet uses another author's discovery without giving that author proper credit, such a school is erroneous, for it inculcates a breach of that divine commandment in the Hebrew Decalogue, "Thou shalt not steal." Again, within a subtone, she gives us worlds of information concerning that one mind, that mind science. Now, that standpoint we see that goes out from divine science, that science which includes scientific metaphysics and divine metaphysics within its domain. So we see now, therefore, that what she gives us then is a multi-dimensional definition of science. Science then seen from, as we just said, scientific metaphysics and divine metaphysics standpoint. So here she continues that reasoning and says now that the divine mind, that's mind in the epitome, isn't it? So we hear the main tone of mind simply through the divine mind, that all mind, it could be said here, or that all in all mind, is the one and only principle. Now that's the point, that's principle, that the divine mind, that all mind, is the one and only principle of what? Of the divine system of metaphysical healing. And of course that metaphysics is coming out from that standpoint of divine science, including scientific metaphysics, including divine metaphysics. So we take a look now at, begin to analyze what she's saying through through the categories. Not just for what she says in nice ways we know now, but what are the categories behind it. So we look at her marginal heading here that says confirmatory tests. Tests are principle. Testing the principle. So she says, I submitted my metaphysical system. That's that mind system of treating a disease to the broadest practical tests. Now we could say to ourselves, well, what are those tests? And so we have to say to ourselves, well, she doesn't actually say, she just said she did it. So we have to say, well, what are the tests that she submitted her system to? Well, her tests then were the understanding of what has gone before. We know that always in through our reasoning with the synonymous terms, that every term looks back at the term that went before. So that principle builds on soul, builds on spirit, builds on mind. So everything that went before, as mind is mind, mind is spirit, mind is soul, that builds up the standpoint of mind as principle. So she can just say, I've submitted my metaphysical system, as you've just seen, under the standpoint of mind is mind, mind is spirit, mind is soul, to its broadest practical test. Therefore, she says that only mind is mind, mind is spirit, mind is soul is only a hypothesis until tested spiritually. Then it's a divine principle. So she says, I've tested it. And the testing is on revelation, reason, and demonstration. Therefore, going out from that revelation, from that understanding of mind is mind, mind is spirit, mind is soul, that understanding is demonstrable. It heals the sick. See, she already has shown us there as mind is soul, that its rules demonstrate its science. So she's given us the test. She says that that principle of divine metaphysics is God. So this is my test that I've given you, is that the principle of divine metaphysics is God. And therefore, when you go out from God, then that only has the power of the Christ behind it to rule over all error. And therefore, I've shown you that its rules demonstrate its science. It's demonstrable. It heals. That's always Christianity. That's what the demonstration of Christianity always is heals. By how? By reversing perverted and physical hypostases as the deity. She just gave us the test there at mind to soul. And says, all right, that has been tested. And now I tell you that it's demonstrated. So that test that we've just had makes it a principle. It takes it out of a hypothesis. And it now is a demonstrable principle. Can you see? how logical the buildup is, and so she just keeps building on what has gone before in the line. That's why these synonyms from mind to spirit to soul, the principle, life, truth, and love, this law of the soul, subtone, is in an invariable, irreversible order. So she says, therefore, the result of that test is that mind governs the body wholly and is the one and only principle of the divine system of metaphysical healing. So she says, all right, that the test that we've had now through mind is mind is spirit, mind is soul, has given us and shown us demonstrably through healing that it is a principle that has a theory and a practice. That's a principle. A principle that is demonstrable. She shows, therefore, that in physical science, a hypothesis, though they call them principles and theories in physical sciences, that they are just hypotheses and remain hypotheses because their testing is not scientific. It's always going out from sense testimony. And she implies, and when we get to the principal tone, she finally just says that's all unscientific. There's nothing to do with science. That only the test I've given you there at mind as soul, going out from divine metaphysics, which is God, which only utilizes the power of truth over air, and its outcome that its rules demonstrate its science by healing, by reversing perverted and physical hypotheses regarding deity, that that only is a principle, everything else, that test is scientific, everything else is not scientific. So they all remain a hypothesis. Okay, so we go on. She gives us more information here under the mind is principle tone. Under the heading of one school of truth, she says that Christian science is demonstrable, which we have seen now. It has one method in its teaching. So there's only one method in its teaching. So we hear now Christian science, that mind science is demonstrable, and that mind science has only one method of teaching, which is principle. Huh? And then we see that this method of teaching, she shows then, and that there's no other method. She shows under the unchangeable principle, she gives us its method of teaching. And she says its method of teaching, therefore, she shows is that mind, which is the one principle that never changes, but demonstrates itself as the one principle which governs changes. So she says the only teacher there is that principle, that principle demonstrates itself, it interprets itself, is the only teacher demonstrating and interpreting itself as that one principle which never changes, but which governs changes. And it's on that principle which never changes, which governs changes, is the principle of teaching, is its one method of teaching. And its teaching is dimensional. So she shows, therefore, this principle of teaching here is always, where does this principle, what is the dimensional explanation of this principle of teaching? She says, from the Infinite One in Christian science comes one principle and its infinite idea. And with this infinitude come spiritual rules, laws, and their demonstration. That's the teacher. Our teacher is always principle, never person. Just as our only we have no other practitioner than the practitioner, which is principle. We have no other teacher than the teacher, which is principle. Therefore, she shows this, therefore, that mind science is the one principle which is teaching us, and how it teaches us. It teaches us dimensionally. Always then on the basis of that one principle, where from the infinite one principle in Christian science, the science itself level, we're taught from the science itself level, comes one principle of teaching, bringing its universal infinite idea, divine science. And with this infinitude, we learn through its spiritual rules and laws, bring their demonstration. You see, it's its demonstration. It's a principle's demonstration. It's the principle's teaching. It's not ours. It's their demonstration. It's their teaching. It's its teaching. So she shows that this demonstration, this interpretation, this teaching of principle goes on dimensionally and always from the standpoint of principle. So that mind, we see, we just leave this on and go to your epitome in the book, and you see then that the divine mind is the one and only principle of the divine system. See, the divine system of metaphysical healing. Here's the system. It's a dimensional system, isn't it? It's a scientific dimensional system. So that divine mind, which is the one principle of the divine system of metaphysical healing, and I'll show you the divine system of metaphysical healing. It's dimensional. And that's this wonderful statement in its dimensions, as we just went from the infinite one in Christian science, science itself, comes one principle in its infinite idea, divine science. And with this infinitude comes spiritual rules, laws, and their demonstration. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's so holistic, it's so dimensional, giving us then the holistic, dimensional, scientific system of metaphysical healing, bringing out its demonstration, not our demonstration. And therefore, she shows, well, any other system of teaching, oh, they're okay only in so far I can say maybe that they have occasional gleams of divinity borrowed from that truly multidimensional divine science. But even though they may show faint gleams, they still nevertheless remain wholly human in their origin and tendency. So she says, those who depart from this method forfeit their claims to belong to this one school of principle. They adopt and adhere to some system of human opinions, which remain wholly human in their origin and tendency, and are not scientifically Christian, though maybe here and there they may show occasional gleams of divinity, but anyhow, that's only borrowed from that truly divine science. So showing that there's only one principle of teaching, and that is this mind principle. All right. So we can go on and just take a look now at the next subtone, building up this tone of the all mind. So she says, all right, now that all mind is what? We see now it is the principle of divine metaphysics. When it says in the epitome here that it's divine metaphysics, that means that is that one mind which is ruling through divine metaphysics, now is a practical living science. So you hear the tone of life is a mind is life. That mind science, which is called divine metaphysics at this point, is a practical living mind science. So you hear the life tone coming in. So let's then see what she wants to bring out here concerning this subtone, bringing out more and more information concerning that all mind. We see then that this goes from on page 112, line 32 to 113, line 8. She says, God is the principle of divine metaphysics. As there is but one God, there is but one divine principle of all science. And there must be fixed rules for the demonstration of this divine principle. The letter of science plentifully reaches humanity today, but its spirit comes only in small degrees. The vital part, the heart and soul of Christian Science is love. Without this, the letter is but the dead body of science, pulseless, cold, inanimate. Well, we begin to hear those points of life in there, vital part, as opposed to dead body, pulseless, cold, inanimate. We hear now the tone of life coming into the all mind. And so therefore we want to take that tonality from the epitome and see if we can hear it in the text. So we turn now to the text with a category-based consciousness. And so we see here that she says, on divine metaphysics as a practical and living science, under the marginal heading principle and practice. Well, practice is that life point. The principle now has its practice. We know that that principle has, in reasoning with the synonymous terms, two wings, so to speak. It has its identity principle built up through mind, spirit, and soul, build up the identity principle. And we know that life, truth, and love is the triune principle, or the essence principle, or the living part of that principle, or the practice of the principle. We learned that with our compendium work in class one, didn't we? So we know now then that when we have principle, that's implied the mind, spirit, soul is now the identity principle, which now lives, which is practical, has its practice. So she says, therefore, that there can be but one divine principle of all science, and there must be fixed rules for the demonstration of this principle. And so we say, all right, therefore, what would be, therefore, the demonstration, the practice of this principle? Well, we see, therefore, again, life just builds on mind, spirit, soul principle. So what we have here, then, that mind as the one and only divine principle of all science. So mind, spirit, soul principle has mind is mind is spirit, mind is soul, mind is principle, has built up that identity principle, which is the principle of all science, she says here. And she says, now I want to show and tell you that that is practical, that is living. That's a practical living science. What that identity principle lives. So don't worry that what I have given you as mind is mind is spirit, mind is soul, mind is principle, is pulseless, is cold or inanimate, that it's just a dead body. Oh no, that principle lives. It's living and practical, and it lives as love. That the vital heart and soul of this living principle is love. Again, the divine science tone. It lives because it is love. It has divine science behind it. Because it is the divine comforter. Because it's the solution to all problems in science, theology, and medicine. Because it's goal causality. Because it's wholeness causality. Because it's oneness causality. You see, that is a vital, living principle, which is love. And so that love is always there, keeping it alive, keeping it the divine comforter, keeping it the solution to all problems, keeping it, always bringing out its teleological goal. It's the rhythm behind that. It's the vital part behind it. It's a living practical science. And you see, what is interesting is if we concept build, tonality build, and consciousness build on this mind is tone, and the mind is spirit tone, and the mind is soul tone, and the mind is principle tone, the mind is life tone, the mind is truth tone. You will see these are brought out in the main tones, that the mind is spirit tone, which talks about that mind which is based on the one value logic of God, is brought out in the main tone of spirit. And where mind is rules by reversing perverted hypotheses concerning deity, that's brought out in that main tone of soul. And where it shows that mind is the one principle of science is brought out there in that main tone of science. And then when we see here that that mind is a living practical science, that's brought out there in theology. That mind, spirit, and soul, which is that identity principle, that is living practical. That's a theology. It's incredible how interrelated these main tones and subtones are in this chapter. It's a very holistic chapter. It's in a wonderful reflection. It hangs together in its main tones and subtones, always reflecting themselves just very exactly within the chapter. Here you have an indication that it's a living practical theology, huh? It's a living practical science.